What I've tried to do in the past with clients is to make sure I know exactly what they want. And so I would have gone ahead and sent out a letter to them, giving them not just the worksheet, but some suggestions to make sure I understand what they want. Oftentimes I'll ask them to not only fill out the worksheet, but to write me back in their own words what they're trying to accomplish. And today, frankly, with email, it's very easy to get clients to send information back. I think the more difficult part is to make sure the information you're receiving is good and that you understand it. I think sometimes what I've seen, especially on the bench now, is that where things often fall awry is that the quality of the witnesses aren't always very good. And that's really critical if you're trying to avoid a will contest or trying to avoid a claim of either undue influence or an invalid will. You want to make sure that the witnesses you have are not only competent witnesses, but they're credible witnesses, and they're going to be around and easy to find. So you may not want to have a short-term employee be one of the witnesses. You might want to have a fellow attorney be a witness. If you can find a former judge, that doesn't hurt. So the quality of the witnesses, I think, is essential. Oftentimes, it's overlooked. You know, obviously, if you're doing a will at the last minute, maybe at a hospital, which I don't typically recommend, I think I've done it twice in my career, you definitely want to bring your witnesses with you there and not rely on somebody in the hall whose background you don't know. And if you're trying to find a witness at the last minute, you may not be thorough in asking the questions that need to be asked to determine if they really are a credible witness. What we oftentimes do is we ask clients to let us share their proposed will or their will after they sign it with family members. That's something to consider. Not every family, every testator wants that done. But the reason we had suggested that as a possibility is oftentimes when a contest is filed, it's filed because the proposed or the beneficiary that may have been excluded or the heir is totally blindsided by a document that either disinherits him or her, or the bequest that's made is not doesn't meet the expectation of the beneficiary. And so in these cases, sometimes ignorance is not a good thing. And if they're going to complain about somebody's capacity, if they've had the will for several years and then complain about it after the fact, a strong argument could be made, well, if you were that concerned, then you certainly could have brought it forward. Some of the things we've suggested to clients, sometimes they take our advice, sometimes they don't, is to also write a check to the beneficiaries on the day the will is signed. This way, again, if they're going to complain that the will is the product of undue influence or lack of capacity, if they cash $1,000, $2,000, $5,000 check from mom or dad, it's hard to say, well, they had capacity to write a check, but by golly, not to make the will.
Okay. I'm sorry.
All right. I mean, not everyone's willing to do that, but it's what we call insurance. And again, you know, some clients are very receptive to that, especially clients that have had problems with their kids before. I mean, I think sometimes what happens with clients is they get frustrated with family relationships and they're quick to say, okay, I've given this son or child or daughter as much as I can. I'm tired of it. And I don't want to provide for anything else because I've already provided for them extensively during their lifetime. And while that might be a, you know, emotional response that's well-rooted in family history, if the goal, again, is to make sure that the testator's plan is effectuated, the last thing you want to do is have a situation where they end up spending, or the estate ends up spending a ton of money on legal fees, having a will challenged because one of the sons or one of the daughters is left out completely. That said, it's also, I think, wise if you're going to include your direct descendants in the will, you don't want to give them just a token gift. You want to give them something sufficient to where if a will contest is filed, then they have something to risk. Risking $500 if the estate's $5 million may not be much of a risk. So we've made those suggestions, and like clients, sometimes they'll take them, sometimes they won't, and that because sometimes they think they know more than you. And when it comes to their family, that is true, but the reality is, as lawyers, we tend to see, we see good situations and we see situations that are not so good. Obviously, in probate court, we see a lot of contested matters, and the reality is most of the time, the contested matters are in the minority. But if you're in the minority on any one case, it doesn't really matter because then your case is the one that's having to pay a lot of fees. We also suggest that you consider, but not always have, in your will, consider an arbitration clause. Arbitration will be less expensive than going to trial. Some folks have taken us up on that. Some haven't. And again, a lot of these things are just suggestions. It's not a one size fits all, but I think communication and documentation is very important. We've had